Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black. Bob Zimmerman is behind the black. And we go immediately to speculation about SpaceX, about the last test launch, number 8, and about Starship. Bob, a very good evening to you. An anonymous tweet. To what end? Good evening.
Good evening, John. As most of our listeners know, SpaceX had on its last two test launches of Starship Super Heavy, it had great success generally with Super Heavy, getting it to catching it with chopsticks. But in both cases, Starship basically failed very shortly after, just before it got into orbit. In both cases, it broke up and fell to Earth. And so there have been a lot of rumors about what the issues were. And I posted a link to a tweet this week listing from anonymous sources a whole bunch of issues that have to be taken care of in order to get it to launch, noting that there seems to be a fundamental miscalculation in the design of the Starship version 2, close quote. Version 1 was the one they used on the first six test flights, and that's reasonably successful. Based on what they learned, they made some major changes and developed version 2, which they've launched on the last two launches and have had problems. It appears the problems have something to do with the fuel lines, wiring, and power unit of the engines. This is according to this rumor. The tweet suggests that the fixes are going to require major redesigns, and we could see the next test flight delayed significantly. I think the tweet was a little bit more pessimistic than reality. They know where these problems are. They are localized within the fuel line, engine wiring, and the power unit. And on top of that, these things worked on the design from the first version, so they could conceivably have a basis for refixing it. So I don't think the delay here is going to be as long as people think. I do think it will probably be June before the next flight goes. One good thing about all this is it's very clear FAA red tape is no longer an additional obstacle. Unlike under the Biden administration, SpaceX would complete its investigation, submit it to the FAA, and the FAA would then spend months and sometimes half a year retyping the investigation before allowing them to fly. Now the FAA is doing what it should do, which is, okay, SpaceX knows what the problem is. We approve your next launch and do it immediately. And that's what they're doing right now, John.
Detail, Bob. I remember hearing, although I don't have it in front of me, that 7 and 8, the failure, RUD, happened within moments of each other. Is that significant?
Yeah, it suggests, this is partly what these anonymous sources are saying, that the problems of the both launches, they had the same problems relating to the fuel lines and power unit. It does appear that, in addition, the hot fire separation that they've introduced contributed to this problem and creating what they call harmonics. This is something that Saturn V had a problem with, where the power of the engine produces vibrations through the spacecraft, through the rocket, and those vibrations, if they hit a harmonic resonance frequency where they can magnify themselves, and that can cause shaking and it can destroy things. And that seems to be part of the problem, and they say it might be related to the hot fire, which is the case where before they separate, they turn the engine on the upper stage and then separate. And that way, the rocket never stops accelerating at any point. It saves you fuel and it gets you more payload up into orbit. But it appears the hot fire separation is contributing to this problem. I should point out, they did hot fire separations with version 1 and did not have this problem. So once again, it's going to require some redesign to fix this.
What is a hot fire, Bob? What is that referring to?
As I say, it's a case where the first stage, normally what happens with most American rockets, the Russians have been doing this for decades, but what happens with American rockets is the first stage shuts down, The two stages separate, and then the second stage fires its engines. A hot fire separation is where, before they separate, the first stage shuts down, the upper stage turns on its engines, and then they separate. And what that means is there's no pause between the two engines firing, the first and second stages, and therefore your acceleration never slows down. And so it's more efficient, but it does require a complex way of doing things. They have what's called a hot fire ring, which they've attached to between the two stages, which is allowing this to happen. And they actually eject that after the separation, so it's not on Starship anymore.
The decision by Mr. Musk to wear many hats is causing a great deal of disorder in the government and in the Tesla business, in the Tesla sales. We're told, for example, it's a bragging point in Germany, I'm told, to return your Tesla or not to buy a Tesla. And maybe in SpaceX, but I can't tell. What is your measure, Bob?
All right. Well, what has happened is because Musk has announced that he's not supporting Democrats anymore, the administrative state and the propaganda press, not us, Don, but not your outlets, but there are press that play this game of narrative where they don't report facts, but they play politics. And so, for example, during the last test flight of Starship, and the previous one before, when the spacecraft broke up, it required immediate action from the FAA to clear the airspace where the debris would come down. And in both cases, both launches, the FAA and SpaceX had a real well-thought-out plan, similar to what's done with almost every other rocket launch ever, to clear the airspace immediately and to make sure all governments involved in the Caribbean and elsewhere are aware of what's going on. And so in both cases, they had their plan in place. When the spacecraft broke up, they immediately cleared airspace. That was cleared for only about 15 minutes. In some cases, airlines delayed takeoffs at affected airports anywhere from minutes to almost an hour. But that's totally different than normal delays seen every day. And the bottom line is that no one was hurt, no planes were damaged, and there was no negative consequences for these breakups. But the press is making a big deal about this. They're making it sound, a lot of the press is making it sound as if the explosion was economically a disaster for the airline industry during this thing. And this is just a case of propaganda against SpaceX because Elon Musk is supporting Trump. And it's really shameful for so many news organizations to do this, John. It's discrediting them, and that's the real thing they should recognize. Play it straight, or you're going to start to lose readers.
Gang tackling the richest man in the solar system does seem futile.
So, yes, I agree.
So... maybe his fortune will be cut in half, so he's only the richest man in the solar system half as much as he used to be. Okay, fine.
You know, John, I want to just insert that it's not so much that he's the richest man, it's that he's such a successful man. The things he does work. And so you're trying to attack someone that is successful and brings gigantic wealth and jobs to the world, to the United States. So you're really cutting off your nose to spite your face to attack him.
It used to be, don't pick a fight with somebody who buys ink by the barrel. We're going to have to revise that about Musk, because he is ink by the barrel. He doesn't buy it. He's the thing itself. He's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, yeah. I've wondered if he has like a robot the way Superman did, that every once in a while would come out and do tasks for Superman while he was somewhere else. You know, there'd be two.
Yeah.
I've wondered whether they're two Musks. All right. Space Force's X-37B. What is that, Bob? It's been some time.
Yes, it's been some time because it was up there for more than a year. The Space Force has or had a fleet of two X-37Bs. These are mini reusable shuttles. They're kind of comparable to Sierra Space's Dream Chaser vehicles. It's a mini shuttle that can go up, open its cargo bay, do experimentations for up to two, maybe 3 years, and then come back and then be reused later. And the most recent flight of the X-37B just ended last week. It lasted 434 days. During that flight, they tested the use of aerobraking, that's using the atmosphere, to change the orbit. This way you don't use fuel, you use the atmosphere to change your orbit and redo things. They also did a bunch of classified experiences, which really don't tell us anything about what they did. What's interesting to me, John, is that up until about two or three flights ago, the Space Force was very proud to tell us they had a fleet of two X-37Bs that were alternating their flights. But in the last two flights, when they launched, they did not tell us which of the two planes was launching. We have no idea. And what that tells me is that it's very possible they have retired one of the two planes. They don't want to tell anybody. For any number of security reasons or whatever, but they so that's this my guess right now that one of them has been retired, but they haven't told us why.
Callisto Grasshopper. When I first read that, I thought, well, I'm hooked. What is it? What is it, Bob?
What is it? It's the European Space Agency's futile, incompetent, and absurd attempt to match SpaceX's reusable Falcon 9. In case you don't, your listeners don't remember, SpaceX, in developing the ability for the first stage to land, had a grasshopper vehicle, that's what they called it, in which it was basically the first stage, and they tested vertical landing and takeoff for a period of about a year or two, crashed a bunch of them, but eventually they figured out how to make it work, and then they adopted that technology to the first stage, and basically within 5 years of first proposing the idea, SpaceX was flying first stages and reflying them. Did it very, very fast. And they succeeded in 2015. That's when SpaceX first succeeded. Well, in 2015, the European Space Agency said they're going to build something called Callisto, which is their version of the Grasshopper, and that's to test reusability, vertical takeoff and landings. That was in 2015. It is now 2025, and they have just announced that they're going to first begin testing of only a small part of Callisto. The thing has not been yet assembled. They don't expect the first launch to occur until next year, and it's only a test vertical hop. This is also a dead-end program because it's not associated with any private company or any eventual rocket that's going to be built. It's just European boondoggle pork to create jobs in France, Germany, and with Japan, who is a partner in this project. So they take 11 years to do this, and the time that they've taken to develop this this non-rocket against, SpaceX has probably landed more than 300 times its first stage and reused them multiple times, some more than two dozen. It's kind of embarrassing for Europe, but it's far for the government aspect of Europe. It is one of the reasons that a lot of the good nations in Europe are abandoning the European Space Agency's commercial rocket and going with encouraging private rocket startups to compete.
In praise of Ariana 6, that makes sense, Bob. It's so expensive, they've got to praise it.
Yeah, this is it ties into the previous story. The government operations, the European Space Agency, and France really want to keep going with the government-run commercial arm. And so Ariane 6 is the only thing really left in that commercial arm of Ariane Space. And it had its second launch recently, and Philippe Baptiste, who is France's Minister of Higher Education and Research, he also was formerly head of their space agency in France. He came out and lauded how wonderfully Ariane 6 is, and we must have a dedicated European method for getting into space. We should be launching on other nations' rockets. And that second point is not unreasonable. They should use their own rockets. But he was trying to point out that Ariane 6 is the way to go. No, actually, as I just pointed out with Callisto, it is not the way to go. It's too expensive. It's too cumbersome. Most nations in Europe don't really want to use it. They're trying to use a strong-arm tactic to force the members of the ESA to buy launches on Ariane 6. It has contracts, but I will tell you that given time, the various nations in the European Space Agency are going to all break free, and they're all encouraging private commercial rockets instead.
We're going to the moon. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.